I want you to turn your Bibles real quick with me. Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And we're going to read just a few verses from verse 1 on. How many ready for a word this morning? I love God's word. Don't you guys love God's word? Every single day. Every single day. No matter where I'm at in the world. No matter where I'm at. Some part of the morning, sometimes mid-morning, or even if it has to be the evening, but there's not a day that goes by that I don't crack my Bible open. I carry, even though my backpack is heavy when I carry that big old Bible, you know what I mean? And my laptop, I'm carrying it through the airport sometimes, and I carry it, it's kind of heavy. It'd be like, you know, if I could just have a light, wouldn't it be easier? But I can't go nowhere without my Bible. Now you say, well, Pastor, you could get your Bible on the, you get your Bible on the phone or on your iPad, make it a lot easier on your back, on your carrying. I said, nah, there's nothing like my Bible. I got promises written in this Bible. I got prophecies that are in this Bible. I got my whole back two, you know, the blank pages. Got my whole blank two pages right here with my pastor's vision, Pastor Sonny. Anytime he preaches, the first thing I put in this thing is Pastor Sonny's vision, the vision he has for our ministry, and I write it down so I can read it over and over and over. Amen. This is a pretty new Bible, so I was able to, Mighty Men of Valor, get his heart opening night of what he wants, how he's, God's directed him for the ministry. So I love reading my Bible. If you love reading your Bible, you're going to be okay. If you're having a hard time reading your Bible, I understand because I've been there before. But get out of that. Amen? Are you guys ready? First Kings and his verse, chapter 17, and we're going to start reading in verse number one. Let me just get to this real quick. Praise the Lord. How many know we serve a good God? How many believe God provides where he guides? If you believe that, I want you to say, I believe it. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 through 7 says, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Verse 2 says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith. Everybody say Cherith. Which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up. Everybody say dried up. Because there had been no rain in the land. Father, once again, we pray for your grace to be able to speak this message with clarity and anointing. I pray you open every ear and every heart, my God, to what the Spirit of the Lord says to our church here at Victory Outreach. God, you have given us a global vision. You have given us a regional vision, and you've given us a local vision. And help us to tie that together, my God, with the anointing you've given us, the special anointing you've given our ministry. We love you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Here in verse 1, we see that there was a drought. How many know New Mexico's in a drought right now? And because of it, we have a lot of fires going on, and you know, people, the water regulations are up. But spiritual droughts are also present in America. Throughout the world, there's spiritual drought going on. There is no water, because water brings life. And it seems like spiritual droughts are probably the most mysterious and difficult times that Christians go through. But in order to go to grow, it seems like you got to go through some droughts sometimes. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, all of Israel is in a spiritual drought. There's been 19 evil kings up to this point reigning over God's people. 19 in a row, not even like a skip on one. 19 evil kings running the show in Israel. Then now, in the time of Elijah, King Ahab was the worst of them all. And he's in charge. Just taking a stranglehold on God's people there in Israel. I want you to think about it. I want you to set up for this message. They're idol serving, pagan worshiping, disgraceful people that are supposed to serve God who have been set free from the bondages of Egypt, and now they have forgotten where they came from. Even the priests that claim to be holy begin to compromise and become corrupt. Or some of them couldn't take the heat, so they just ran away. Now Elijah didn't run away, although it looked like he was hiding away at the brook Cherith. God told him to go there. And when God says, I want you to do something, if you do it, God has a plan and a purpose for it. So to counteract the spiritual drought that Israel's in at this moment, God's prophet Elijah calls for a physical drought. God uses him and he prophesies there's going to be no rain. There's going to be a drought. And I think people wonder, why would God use that method to get the people's attention? Why cause a drought when you know that all that's going to do is cause famine? Because without the water, then there's no crops. With no crops, there's no work. There's no food. That means there's not only a drought with no water, but that means there's no food to eat. Come on, somebody. But you have to understand the significance of the prophecy of no rain in this time. See, it becomes apparent to the people when they begin to understand that those who worship Baal believed that Baal controlled the rain. They thought Baal was in charge of the rain. So when the rain stopped, they cried out to who? To Baal. And guess what? Nothing happened. So the prophet came. He said, there won't be no rain until I say there's going to be rain. And when it rains, you're going to know there's only one God in Israel. And his name is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. So here the prophet Elijah cuts to the very heart of Baalism, of this false worship, of this compromise. You know the condition of our country. You know the condition of our city and even many of our churches in America. And I want you to know that Victory Outreach has values. We have convictions. We have things in us that say, it might look like, oh, you guys are a little strict. Oh, you guys, hey, come on now. We already see what's going on. Thank God for our founders and our pastors that give us a guideline, a plumb line. See, it becomes very evident that the God of Israel, the true Holy One of Israel, the prophet's God, he controls the weather. See, sometimes we trust more in the weatherman than the one who makes the weather. I got to watch 10 o'clock news to see if I'm going to be able to go tomorrow morning. I wonder if they're going to close the schools down. We're going to get a half inch of snow, you know. They laugh at us in Denver. I heard you guys, they shut down your streets. You only had like 15 minutes of snow and you had like a half inch and they shut down the schools and everybody was in a panic. There was like 55,000 insurance claims. See, droughts and famines happen in every area of our life. And a lot of times we don't see them in the spirit. We just see them physically. Like we know New Mexico's in a drought. No rain, man. We had one day of rain or 2 days of rain in the last, I don't know how many days. Over 100 days. Fires are starting to pop up everywhere. All we need is a good rainfall across the strait, across the whole state, and it will douse all that stuff. But up there in Cimarron, close to Brody right there, I'm sure you can see the smoke coming over there, you guys. Man, Philmont Ranch, the boys' ranch right there, about 26,000 acres already burned, about a total of 38, almost 40,000 acres. And this is dry. And it's just ripe for fire, for destruction. And that's what happens when there's a drought. It becomes ripe for destruction. And the enemy loves when we're in a drought. He loves it when he gets you inside of a drought of prayer or not reading your word or not being in church. He loves it when you're in drought because he knows it won't be long until he can burn you. But I got some good news for you here this morning. That the rain is coming, baby. The Holy Ghost rain's about to begin to fall. So that's physical drought. We can see it. But what about the spiritual drought? when you really can't see that there's a drought in your spirit. In baseball, they call it a slump. Even Hall of Famers have had slumps. One time, Mickey Mantle, the great Mickey Mantle, the all-time great, went through a terrible slump that just seemed to drag on game after game after game. If you're a baseball fan, you probably know this story. One particular evening in the 1950s, he struck out in all three bats. Are you talking about a home run king? You're talking about a Hall of Fame baseball player. They don't miss the ball. His eye had a special touch to hit the ball. Couldn't hit the ball. Couldn't hit the left side of a barn. Disgraced, he sat down in the dugout, much like LeBron James a little bit the other night. I love LeBron, but he was, man, he was starstruck. A little guy by the name of Steph Curry just shooting, raining down on me. Just raining threes on him, man. Oh, don't hate me now if you're a LeBron fan. I'm a LeBron fan too. In fact, I hear he's coming to my team. Of course, you hear he's coming to a city near you. But I believe he's coming to my team, and you guys know who I like. I think he already has a house in L.A. He should come. But the Mickey Mantle sat down in the dugout, tossed his helmet to the dirt, threw his bat, put his head down and his hands like that, and finally a young boy walked over to him. I know you think he's going to come over and say, oh, come on, Mickey, it'll be better. It was Tommy Barra, the son of the great manager Yogi Berra. Tommy tapped him on the knee and looked him tenderly in his eyes and said, you stink. Huh? One of the greatest golfers of the modern era, Tiger Woods. TW, man. Ooh, what a golfer. I'm talking all the golfers that are champions right now. He was their favorite golfer 12, 13 years ago. Literally. And just a little compromise, just a little bit of getting out of hand, put him in a golf drought. All that happened is one of his golf clubs went through one of his windows, and that was over. It's like his life was over almost. He still got a lot of money, but did you know that his wife, in the settlement of that thing, that house was worth $15 million, the house? You know what she did after the judgment? The day after the judgment, she got the house and a whole lot of money. He worked like $300, $400 million, but she got like $100 mil. And then at the day after, that's a little bit, she hired a company and they went and they bulldozed the house down. And she rebuilt another house on top of that one. She was mad. He was in a slump. He's been in a slump. But I love Tiger. Tiger is a treasure out of darkness. Tiger's back. He's been golfing the last three or four tournaments. He's right there in third place, second. He's been leading a few times. I thought to myself, man, can you imagine? One of the greatest golfers to ever play the game was in a slump. Sometimes you get in a slump. I've been in a slump before. I remember many times playing basketball tournaments where I was on fire for one day. Man, I'd be hitting anything I just threw up. It would go in. And the next time I would just take my time, I'd shoot. I couldn't make a basket. I know what it's like to be dry and looks like to have to be plenty. And it's good sometimes for us when we see a little bit of a drought so we can say, I know who has the rain. I know who has what I need. See, droughts happen in every area of our lives. And when the brook runs dry in your soul, the easiest thing to do is to wrap yourself in a little burrito cocoon and hide. Stay away from church. Stay away from people. But my friend, when that happens, that's the time you got to run to church. When that happens, you need to run to people, to life group. Wallowing into despair and quitting are never godly options. Huh? Let's look a little closer in this passage this morning because I believe that it can reveal some keys to you getting out of drought, if you're in a drought, or staying away from a drought, or possibly excelling and surviving when you feel like you can't go anymore. See, first of all, we notice that God has a plan for Elijah, the prophet, the leader of the nation. He's the spiritual leader of that nation at this time. And here in verse 2, we see the word of God, the word of the Lord comes to Elijah and says, leave here now and turn eastward and go hide yourself by the brook Cherith or kereth. Everybody say kereth. Let's try it like that. And the word kereth in the Hebrew is the word kerith with a K, which is a seasonal stream. Usually it's dry all summer long. Then the rains come and it fills it up for a season and then it dries up again. Come on, somebody. A kereth is a small body of water. It's only there for a short time. And there's only a certain season where that brook will have water. So you can imagine the sheep, the shepherds would take their sheep to these places because they knew there would be water at a certain time. But they would never go that place before because they knew it would be dry. Come on, somebody. So you know what that really means if God took him to this brook? It means that God sustained Elijah by a brook of water that should have not existed at that time. In other words, the time that he took him to the brook Kerith, was there was not supposed to be water in it then. It wasn't the season of water, number one. But number two, they were in a drought. There was no rain. There was no water flowing. But how many know that God can put water in the desert even when there's no rain? Your life might be dry. There may be a drought, but I want you to know something, that God can make water in the desert. See, God has directed Elijah to go to a place where God will provide and protect him. See, God always directs and protects those he anoints and those he calls. If God calls you to take a city, he will provide and he will protect your life. Don't you ever be afraid of that. I believe in God that God is going to raise up men and women in our church again to go be launched out into cities. And you might have a little fear saying, how will I do this and how will we do that? But I want you to know something. God always provides where he guides. See, God gives instruction to those who are positioned to hear him, to receive his direction. And that position is prayer, my friend. Elijah did according to the word of the Lord, not according to Elijah's situation, his circumstance. What do I do now? What do I do now? No, he didn't do it like they said. God, what do you want me to do? He says, go to Kerith. All right. Packed his bag and went. But then one day, he's there in provision. How many know it's nice what God's providing for you? Things are going great. Drinking water out of the brook Kerith. You got God dropping off Uber Eats. Literally Uber Eats. Carne asada every day, morning and every evening. Specially cooked just for you. You drink it, get a cup of that fresh water. That's God water. That's not just regular water. That's God water. Think about it. That's Jesus. That's like pure water. Like you get a cup of that. Whoo, hallelujah. In the desert, when everybody else is starving, everybody else, there's no water nowhere. People are fighting for water, and there's no wells. There's nothing. There's no rivers running. And he's there sitting by there on his little lawn chair with a nice little cover like that. And it's water. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden a raven will fly in. Here you go, sir. Is there any cost? Nope, all been paid for. Here you go. I'll see you tonight. We'll see you tonight. I may be off shift tonight, but another raven will be here. And they come in to bring you a carne asada, some bread. Ooh, come on, somebody. And the prophet's just chilling in the middle of crisis. Come on. Huh? The whole world's panicking, and he's just sitting there, man, with his foot up in the air, saying, hallelujah. See, when things dry up, see what happened is he was like that. But then they dried up. Imagine what he did. He said, the water's gone. He woke up in the morning, the water was gone. He waited around. He's like, maybe the raven's going to bring me a bottle of water too, some smart water or something. You know, I don't see him. I look in and it's past breakfast time's not here. Well, maybe he forgot. Maybe the shift didn't happen. I'll wait till the night. He waited till tonight. He's all that day's praying, saying, Lord, what do you want from me? And then the raven doesn't show up. There's no water. And he says, okay, what are you up to, God? And what does God say? I'm redirecting your provision. See, some of you don't understand that when the water dries up sometimes, it's so God can redirect your provision. You might get this when you're on your way home or maybe tomorrow. Notice that the prophet doesn't panic. Notice how he positioned himself to receive the Lord. He must have got before the Lord and said, okay, God, what do you want next from me? Sometimes if the crisis you're in is so severe that you begin to develop a panicky spirit, it can tilt the battle, man. You gotta hold your ground. As a believer, as a leader, you have to rise above all these kind of things. You can't just stay stuck in your circumstance and stuck in your crisis. Then in verse 9, God redirects Elijah. He orders Elijah to rise up and to go to Zarephath. He says, because and the Bible says in verse 10 that he did what the Lord said. He got up and he went to Zarephath. He went. The Bible says he went. Everybody say he went. Sometimes you got to just went. There's something about a man or a woman that can obey God no matter how you feel. Verse 8 reads like this. Then the word of the Lord came to him and said, rise up and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he rose up and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was right there gathering sticks. She must have heard the Lord too, right? And he called to her and he said, please bring me some water in a cup. You got any of that God water? You have any of that Jesus water? He was so used to drinking that good water, huh? He goes, I'm thirsty. I need a drink. Verse 11 says, and as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. In other words, when you bring the water, bring me a nice tortilla, freshly cooked. If you got any butter, cool. I know where we're at in Israel. Give me some olive oil. It'll be work. But I'm starving, man. The ravens have been, they didn't make it the last couple of days, and I got to get something to eat. I'm starting to get hangry. Verse 12 says, so she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have any bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, in a small little bin, and then also I got a little bit of oil in a jar. See, I'm about to go gather a couple more sticks, go start a little fire, warm up some stuff. I'm going to go in there and prepare for me and my son. We're going to eat it, and then when we're done eating it, we're going to die. Elijah says to her in verse 13, he says to her, don't fear, don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small tortilla from it first. Pita bread, tortilla, same thing. Don't trip. They pretty much look the same, right? You ever had pita bread, tortilla? They look exactly, little spots and everything. He says, go and make, he says, go make a small piece of cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterwards, make some for yourself and your son. So he says, don't eat it first. Bring it to me. And once it's in my hand, then I want you and your son to go eat. You go make him some. See, Elijah saw something she didn't see. There was enough for only one tortilla. But he said, bring me that tortilla. And then after that, go make some for you and your son. He was prophesying to her already. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up. He looks her right in the eyes. And she's like, really? You want me to make you a tortilla? What will we eat? In her mind, her panicking mind. And he says, thus says the Lord, sister, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord, that he sends rain on the earth. And when it does, then God will bring all the crops, because the rain will create the flour. It'll create more trees for the oil, and you will never have to worry about provision again. Verse 15 says, so she went away. Everybody say she wented. She went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And he and her household ate for many days. You know, many days means months, makes a lot longer than just So the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil dry, according to the word of the Lord, which was spoke by Elijah. You see, this portion of scripture reveals that God wants to get provision to you, but sometimes when there's a drought, and the way the drought was at Kerith, the way it was a drought, God said, I want you to go someplace else now. He will redirect where you're going to get your provision from. But you have to be in the position to hear him. When he instructs, he always gives a plan. God always provides where he guides. Now look at this woman. The Bible says in verse 11, as she was going to get it, he called to her. And he said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she, you know what she says? She responds, I don't got nothing. That's all I got. We're going to eat it and die. But he asked for the bread in her hand. Hold on a second. She don't have no bread in her hand. There's a little bit of flour in her house in a small bin. But he says, I see bread in your hand. And I don't know about you. I grew up in the 70s. And we used to use the word, you know, we used the word bread. You got any bread? And that meant money. Lana, you know. Feria. Ducats. Blue strips now. They use blue strips now. Hey, man, you got some blue strips? You got to look at me. What's that? Well, Pastor Pat said Benjamins, but that word's out. Blue strips. They got that big old blue strip now. I heard that from somebody. I'm not that cool. So, okay. I know you might think, man, my pastor's cool, but I heard that from somebody else. Bread. He goes, I see the bread in your hand. Bring me some when you come back. I don't have any bread, he says. All I have is... See, God sees what's in your hand. The prophet was saying you have more in your hand than what you see. It's not till he reveals that what you have in your hand is everything you need to live, not just now, but in your future. It's in your hands. I used to think to myself, oh, where are we going to get a musician? Where are we going to get this guy? We want this for our church. And then the Lord rebuked me and said, it's in the house. Then everybody started to pop up. According to verse 9, this woman had already been commanded by the Lord to provide for Elijah, but she was having a hard time, like many of us do. When the Lord says, I want you to do this. I want you to go here. I want you to go ahead and do this. He was like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. What's going to happen? I need a line by line, like Excel sheet. God says, no, just go there. And so when he said that, he was speaking to him and he was speaking simultaneously to the widow. And he was saying, Mija, when you go out to gather your sticks, I know what spirit you're under. You're all discouraged and you feel like you're going to die, but you're not going to die. Just when you go out, there's a man coming. The prophet of God, Elijah, is coming. When he gets there, you make sure you take care of him. Spirit of hospitality. So where is she at? Where do we find her? We don't find her around the side of her house. We don't see her on the outside of the gate over there someplace looking for sticks, crying and going through all kinds of crisis and all kinds of panicking spirit that her and her kid or dad, her son, that's it for their lives, the end of their legacy, the end of everything. They find her looking for sticks and looking at the gate. Picking up sticks, looking at the gate, and there he is. And she sees him. Prophet of God comes in glowing, you know what I mean? Hey, you're that widow, aren't you? I'm thirsty, girl. Got any of that Jesus water? Go bring me some. And you know the rest of the story. We read it already. Huh? But instead, when Elijah shows up, she's not peaceful and says, yeah, no problem. No problem. I got it all taken care of. I got a little plan. God's going to provide. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to get some pancake mix. And I'm going to stir it. And I count about 14, 18 drug addicts sitting on my floor over here in this house in Aliso Village, past Sister Julie. I don't know how it's going to happen. It's not, there's no food. You know the story. And then she starts like that. And all of a sudden, the miracle of the pancake. Maybe she was thinking like, maybe God will do some kind of miracle. Maybe, I don't know, but I want you to know something right now. She began to run into a panic immediately. You know why? Because that voice has spoke to her. She positioned herself to hear it, but when she heard it, she didn't like what God said. Sometimes we hear what God says, and you know what happens? We don't like what God says, so we fight it. Hello, somebody. Her emotions begin to run her life. She succumbs to the pressure of the trial. She's making statements of defeat and even death. I'm going to go eat that little bit, then me and my kid are going to die. There's power in your tongue. Proverbs 18:21 says it. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. You see, you women have a way of, like when the house is like an uproar, you have a way of creating an atmosphere. It's an anointing you have, I want you to know, ladies. It's an atmosphere of everything's going to be okay. You have that. I don't know how you got that, because we're like either one or the other. Guys, you know? You guys are wired all with wires everywhere. You guys can just tap into that one wire, but not us. Those boxes, we have boxes, and we're just like, you know, our biggest crisis is, oh, my God, I'm going to miss the finals. Oh, my God, there's no food. I don't care. I want to watch sports, ESPN, and brain. That's all people, you know, guys are weird like that. But women have a way of being able to say, you know what? I know everything's great. Hold on, stop. Everything's going to be just fine. And then people say, what happened? Say, Mama said everything's going to be all right. When a crisis comes, don't get crazy. Don't get hysterical. Don't panic. Hold your peace. Hold your mug. Hold your composure. Take it all over Facebook. Taking every word on Facebook literal. Were they talking about me on Facebook? They don't even know you exist. Don't let your emotions take over it. Rebuke that panicking spirit. Create a peaceful atmosphere for your family and for your church. There's something about a man or a woman, ladies and gentlemen. There's something, man, that brings an atmosphere of everything's going to be all right. And you show your family, you know what, we're just going to pray. We're just going to believe God. God's going to come through for us. Oh, there's something about that said about a man or a woman of faith that just holds her composure and says, don't worry, we serve God. He's in control. We serve the God that is in charge of the rain. We may be in a drought right now, family, but I want you to know something. It won't be long until the rain of the Holy Ghost falls upon us. And when it does, I wish I could get some help up in this house. You see, this is where you got to activate your faith. Sometimes you think you need to do something when God is saying, I want you to hold your ground. Quit talking and quit trying to say, well, I'll do this and I'll do that. Just shut up and be quiet and just sit there and say, God, I know you're in control. I know you got everything in charge. You're in charge, God. Sometimes you want to go do, I know what I'll do. I'll go do this. I'll make sure this happens. You don't got to do nothing sometimes. And then sometimes you're sitting there doing nothing and God says, you got to went. Just God says, be still. But your emotions do something completely different. Put it all Facebook, every little thing on your... What is up with that? That's a horrible thing. You put all your business on Facebook and then you get mad because people know your business. People are gossiping about me. Well, sister, brother, you put it all on there. You let it all hang out on that thing there, man. You're talking about how you lost your job, and I don't know what I'm going to do about money. Maybe you got a different motive. I don't know. All I do know this, you don't got to say nothing to nobody. All you got to do is get in position for God and say, okay, God. Now, if you're saying, hey, pray for us. We have a big decision to make. Pray for us. Been sick, whatever. That's a different Bible study. But don't put all your junk out there and then get mad when people say stuff. Come on, somebody. That's why prayer and the word and submitting to leadership is crucial. You call your pastor, you call a leader, you call your life group leader, you call director, and you say, listen, I don't know what to do here, but we're in a drought. And their leader might say, you know what, you need to stand still and trust God. Because even though you don't feel that he's working, he never stops working, ever. You are here. Moving in our midst. I worship you. Sometimes you just got to worship him. I worship you. Because he's a way maker. Not you. Not your boss. Not your pastor. Not your church. He's a way maker. And that's what we teach you. We direct you to Jesus. You'll know. You will know who your way maker is. See, when you respond to crisis, according to your emotions, that battle is tilted to lose. But when you lift those hands and say, you are here, moving in our midst. When you're able to do that in the middle of crisis, woo! When you can worship God through your stuff, instead of starting complaining, instead of start talking to everybody you shouldn't, you talk to the wrong people about everything, and then you wonder why they talk about you. Talk to the right people, talk to God first. See, the devil will take anything he can get, man. Think about it. She has a positive spirit for a moment. The very next moment, we're going to die. She actually says, she's actually cursing her son. We're going to eat it, and then me and my son are going to die. Man, stop. Speak life. So I don't know how God's going to do it, but God's going to do it. You got to be able to speak with that kind of life. Look what she says in verse 13 and 14. He says, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Just go do what you got to do. God already said he's going to fill up your bins. It's not going to run out until the rain comes. So don't be afraid. Go and do what I've said, sister. Come on, get me that tortilla. He was making a statement. You can't see what I see. The Lord has showed me how God's going to prosper you. I see plenty when you see nothing. I see tortillas when you see a little bit of flour. I see provision when you feel like you ain't got nothing coming. I see it. Now you gotta see it. The Bible says in verse 15 and 16 that she does it. She sees God's miracle. And three things real quickly that this woman did that can help you. That can help us. In verse 10, the Bible says she was in the right place. Listen, the right place is right here in church. The right place is right there in life group. The right place is at the hour of power. The right place is at that moment of prayer, whatever time it is in the morning or the afternoon or the night that you spend time with Jesus in your word. You just take a couple of scriptures and some prayer. Say, God, I don't know what to do here. Everything I do seems to turn south a little bit, but I want to go where you want me to go. I want you to do what you want me to do. So you got to position yourself in the right place. She was in the right place to hear God. She heard him, and then she got in the right place at the city gate. Looking for the prophet, picking up sticks. Come on. Second thing she did is she battled her fears. At first she said, we're going to die. Oh my God, it's over. It's over. And then he looks her square in the eye and says, thus says the Lord. This is a prophetic message. God is saying, thus said the Lord. I'm about to provide you for you in a way you've never imagined. You have to defeat your fear. You know what it says. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. See, fear will paralyze you. Faith will release you. Third and last thing she did is she responded in faith. She said, okay. All right. Can you imagine how she did? She walked in there and her son's there sitting there all sickly looking, just sitting there, man, like, we're going to die. We're going to die now, right? You said, we're dying, right, Mom? No, not anymore. What happened? Just sit right there, son. She goes inside there and makes the biggest, baddest tortilla. Found some kind of organic butter, oil, something. She takes it out with a nice cold glass of water to the prophet. She goes at the table. She goes, here you go, Eli. Because my name's Elijah. Okay, Elijah. Here's a tortilla. And you know what he did? He dove right into it and ate it. She went back to the kitchen. All of a sudden on that countertop, there's all these round balls of flour, all nice, the masa. Bunch of masa everywhere. Making it and making it. All of a sudden she starts turning it around and flipping it around and rolling it out. She says, son, try this one. Imagine how her boy must have felt. And he saw faith in action. He saw a curse broken. He saw redirected
redirected provision. He saw it with his own eyes. Oh, you better know that when you're in a drought sometimes, God might redirect your provision. Oh, but say he began to look over. And she's making all that stuff. She goes, go get your uncle and your auntie. Get your tia and your tio. Get your cousins. I know they're in trouble too. Tell them we're having a feast. Get them over here. And then she probably walked over to the bin. You know, because we're human. That bin was closed, but she made all those. She probably looked in there to see. And she probably saw it filled up. It had already emptied to the half. But when she opened the top again, it was filled again. Because the Bible says the bin did not rot. See, we're getting ready to release Katrina into the international. God said, give us that little bit of flour and that oil. And we're like, but she does a lot here. Why are, you know, she works in the office. She's ahead of the, she oversees the kids' church teams. And Barb goes, I know. I said the same things to the Lord, and the Lord just said, didn't say nothing back. I said, I know, we got to let her go, right? Oh, yeah. We have to release her. And the Lord says that when you release her, he goes, I'm going to fill the bins up. I wonder who in this house are part of that redirected provision. You've been saying all your life, I want to work in the ministry. I want to do this. But everybody's got a spot taken up. There's a spot already where I want to be at. They're in charge and they're in charge. And all of a sudden God redirects some people. And all of a sudden you step in there and say, oh, I would have never known. She's been disciple trained. But the Lord asked, let her go. Get her. Let it go. Live with an open hand. Fulfill the vision of Victory Outreach. Even when she went to Amsterdam, I told Barb, they're going to keep her. I know they are. Because I know what she does for this house. She's a very intricate part of this house. She does a lot in this ministry. And God said, I told her, they're going to keep her in Amsterdam. So I remember Sister Barb goes, I got to talk to you. I go, what? She goes, they asked her if she could stay a little longer. I go, I knew it. Pastor Joe's a good friend of mine over there. I'm going to call him up, man. I called him. I Instagram, hey, Brother Joseph. He goes, thank you so much for Katrina. Me and my wife love her. Our kids love her. I'm like, oh, she's gone. And we got a release. Huh? You got to live with an open hand. 8 months ago, we released Ambrose. He said, what do I do now? He graduated the home. I said, would you go to the Las Cruces home and help establish the home that hasn't been there for years? And he said, yes, sir. He's been there 8 months. Spoke with him last week at the regional. Looked him in the eyes and I said, Ambrose, you ready for your next mission? He says, what's that, sir? I said, you ready to go to Española? They're going to open up a new home. He goes, when do we leave? We could keep him here on staff with us and help us. But the Lord said, release him. Now we have another home in Las Cruces we didn't have for a long time, Pastor Renee. We have a home starting. They pick him up next week, and in a few weeks he'll be starting there in Española. By the way, they're getting a new building. Hello, somebody. And we're getting ready to release some people into some cities. Maybe not just in New Mexico, but we want to launch some churches real soon here. We're going to have to let some good people go. The Lord said, I'll fill your bins. I'll raise up more disciples. You see, we serve a God of provision and abundance, and He always provides where He guides. He said, I will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and 19. That word supplies is the word intensive. It's a word epicoregio, which actually means intensive and to cover all expenses. Hello, somebody. God will never ask you for something you don't have, but He may ask you for something you want to keep. Oh, we want to keep some of these people. We can't. We got to let them go. That woman wanted to keep that little bit of flour, but she had to let it go. What is God asking you to let go? I could have very easily picked up that special offering for our new building son after this message, but I wasn't going to do that. Because I always separate that from that. Because I want you to know we have the right motives around here. If you have any stinky thinking, that'll set that in straight. We want our building to look nice. But see, you think this is about giving money by now. I'm sure you think that, but that's not at all what it's about giving. This is all about giving your heart to God when God says, give me your heart. And you want to hold on to a little piece of your heart still. Because a little piece of your heart is still connected over here and over there. And the Lord says, you can't be connected anywhere else but to me, the Lord said. That's why you've been having problems, because your heart's connected all over the place. Huh? God directs and protects. You may be called during your drought to let go of something. God never calls us to endure a situation that he himself is not prepared to sustain us through. The prophet, he said, get to the brook Kerith. He got to the brook Kerith. He was there. He's like, okay. And all of a sudden he wakes up in the morning and the water's full. And he's, ooh, there's a cup right there. And then the first raven shows up. You know, that was the first Uber or Lyft ever. So I have a question for you. What are you holding in your hand? What are you holding on to? You're squeezing the life out of it. It has life. What are you squeezing? And making these same statements. This is all I got. I'm going to eat it and die. Get it out of your hand. Your talent. Some of you have talents and you're not using them for God. Get it out of your hand. Let God use your giftings. Watch how he provides. See, God's plan of rescue are better than we can imagine. In the middle of a drought, that thing provided. You see the meat, the bread, and all just a little bit of flour, just a little oil. Everybody say little oil. And it provided for them all. See, he's the God of unending abundance. He's the God of surprise endings. He's the God who has the ability to do anything, anytime. Trust him. Rely on him. God promises the rain will come again. God promises you it will come. I guarantee you, if you could interview Elijah today on Facebook, live Facebook, he would probably have to say, you know what? I could not have experienced all the victories until I had to survive that drought I was in that time at the brook Kerith. God provided. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was just a dry place. Israel was in drought. The priests were in drought. Now the prophets over here in a physical drought. And then God provides and revealed himself to him in those physical things. God reveals things to you. So we don't know what we have in our hand until sometimes the Lord has to show us. Say, look what's in your hand. I don't got nothing. Yes, look. There's more in your hand than you think. Huh? Doesn't matter how dry your land is. This woman had to release what was in her hand. The little she had became much once it was in God's hand. That's why you got to release. And I have so much more, but I'm going to stop right there. Amen. Maybe I can pick this up. I want to call Porky. Little Porky, come over here, would you? We were talking a couple of days ago for lunch, and he was sharing the miracles. Just give me a couple more minutes. Can I have a couple more minutes? You can stand or sit down or wherever you want. But we were sharing, and I just got that. I got Holy Ghost, like, goosebumps. I said, man, this is God. He goes, I know. This only could be God. Man, looking all swag and stuff, too, but. Ooh, my God. But he was sharing with me, and I said, well, you should share that. He goes, yeah, I'll share it. But just about a year ago, you were at the drought, huh? Go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to thank God for my salvation. For
you know, he comes from the home, right? He was in the home.
For placing me under such great shepherds, you know, Pastor Danny and Barbara. They're my mentors. They're my friends. I could call upon them whenever I'm in trouble, or even when I'm in victories, you know, they're right there. And I just like to thank God for my parents, you know, they're back there, and my little brother. And my daughter is in working in children's church today, you know, and you know what? God is just so good. You know, when we're unfaithful, He's still good. Amen. But you know what? Last year I called Pastor Danny. I was in Houston, Texas, and working and making some good, decent money. But I found myself broke, man. I found myself in drought, Pastor. And you know what? I had to call upon my pastor and tell him, hey, Pastor, this is what's going on. I don't have nothing to show for it. You know, what do I do? You know, I was a tither. I was tithing, and then I slacked off to my tithing, and Pastor got me on track. He goes, here, this you follow this, follow, do this. And now today, I'm going to buy a house and a couple of, and I want to close on my house. Amen. And you know what? I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful for what God is doing in my life. You know, maybe it's not, you know, what I want or what I want to see, but you know what? He's bringing me in the process. Amen. I'm in the process right now. Amen. And I'm in the field, in the oil field, but you know, just like David was in the field, I'm in the field. And you know what? I just thank God. Amen. And you know what? I want to tell you, I was sitting back there and I want to tell some of you, your drought is over. Amen. It's going to rain. It's raining on us. It's raining on this house. Amen. It's raining on our ministry. Amen. And I want to tell you that God, continue to give. Continue to be faithful on your giving. If you're a giver, stay faithful in your tithing. Amen.
Now, what he didn't say is that they told him he had to have so much down for his house payment, for his house, like put down. And then when he got over there, he says, by the way, Mr. Apodaca, you don't got to put nothing down. And I just, all week he was, Pastor, I got to talk to you. You should see the favor. It's favor, favor, favor. And I thought to myself, just a year ago, he was like that woman with just a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. And when he asked me, I said, do you want to hear the truth? Can you handle the truth? Because this is what I'm going to tell you. This is the advice I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you a financial plan. And if you'll do these things within a year, you'll be completely, totally changed. And so out of what we spoke to him, and I've been doing that with some other people, it's developing something I want to do. And we're going to do it probably in the next couple, maybe in August we'll do it. We're going to prepare for those of you that would like to do this. And you know how we have our Hour of Power on Sunday nights and we have our Life Flow? It's going to be a class we're developing for those of you that want to get out of financial drought. Because I'm seeing the miracles happen for people that when they hear the advice and they do it, they're having miracles. He didn't have no savings. Now he's got savings. He's able to buy a house. He's able to tithe. He's able to do everything he wants to do. Help his, whoever needs to help. Because he's been a good steward of his finances. Don't you dare ever question the Lord when he says, do something. Now I want to challenge everybody. This is not an offering. This is an altar call. It's kind of an offering, but only your heart. Before we started this service this morning, I got called into my office. Said, Pastor, can I talk to you? Said, God spoke to me and my wife in the midnight hour. Said, come and speak. Come and give this offering to you. Give it. And it's sizable. It's a sizable offering. It's in the thousands. It says, here. And we prayed over that seed. I said, you're going to trip when you hear the message this morning. He goes, no, I'm not. You know why? Because he's like that widow. God spoke to him simultaneously. When was the last time you had your ear open for God to speak to you simultaneously? Not just with money. To be able to come and say, Pastor, I recognize there's a need in the church. There's a need right here. And I know I'm not really doing much. But I want to sign up. I'll give you a year commitment in this area. I need to fill that gap right there. And there's some of you do that. And I'm grateful to you. There has been some of you stepped up and done that. But there's so much more needs. Our city's in shambles. Our, Our church has needs for people to rise up. We need leader, new leaders to start coming up. Get, this message is not about giving money. So get that out of your mind. This message is about giving your heart. You have your heart in your hand and you're holding on to it. You got to say, Lord, here's my heart. I want your heart to be grafted in my heart. I want you to bow your heads with me all over this place. I feel the presence of God in this house. I feel the anointing. I believe there's some of you been in a drought spiritually. Some of you been in a drought financially. Some of you been in a drought physically, your health. But you heard it. That was a prophetic word. That God, that the drought is over, that the rain is coming, and it's coming down on us. It's coming down on you. There's a song we sing, raining down on me, raining down on you. And so, Holy Ghost, fall on us this morning. I'm going to call an altar call this morning. It's going to be a different kind of altar call. I believe that there's a lot of people in this room that need to be at this altar call, but I'm not going to labor it. You just let the Holy Ghost move in your life. If you're in a spiritual drought, if you're in a financial drought, if you're in a physical drought and you want the rain in your life, know this, that God always provides where He guides. He's the God of surprise endings. He's the God who is able when you're not able, but you've got to let go of your fear. You've got to get in the right place. The right place today is at this altar, and you need to walk in faith. You need to fill your heart full of faith this morning. I'm going to ask them to sing this song. And as they sing this song, I'm going to ask you to come from all over this place, from everywhere. I want you to fill this
you
place.
You are the reason for my joy.
Come on. God wants to give you the rain.
You are the reason for my
that physical drought is over. That financial drought is, you've been drowning in debt. And God says, starting today, I'm going to begin to wipe away your debt. I'll begin to give you a plan. I'm going to give you a plan so that your debt won't crush you. And I'm going to give you a plan that rain's coming. I'm redirecting your provision this morning. But you've got to believe. You've got to stand in faith and not fear.
I give you my hope.
Come on. I'm going to wait for you.
I give you my soul.
I'm going to wait for you. God wants to minister to your body. God wants to minister to your finances. God wants to minister to your life.
Oh, I give you my all in all. I surrender my faith
just to be in your presence.
Just to be in your presence.
You are the reason, yes,
Lord. You are the reason for my joy.
Yes, you are, Lord.
You are the reason,
you're the reason
for
God.
My happiness.
Come on. I want you to take your hand right now.
Because of you, I gave
that one
Lord.
Hand that you've been clenching. And I want you to hold it up to the Lord.
You,
come on, hold up that hand to the Lord. Offer.
I owe this to you.
Yes, I do.
For all that you do.
Oh.
To worship you in spirit and in truth.
Oh.
I live my life for you.
Yes.
I give you my all.
Come on, lift it up to the Lord. Come on.
Lift
it, lift it, lift it, lift it, lift it.
Lord, I give you
lift
my
it.
Favorite thing
just to be
just to
Just to be in your presence.
Just to be in your presence.
I give.
I give my everything.
What I want you to do. Come on, I want you to lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. Lift up that fist that you have that you've been holding on to. Whatever you've been holding on to, I want you to begin to, right there where you're at, I want you to begin to let go of it as I pray. Heavenly Father, there are many in this room today that have been in a spiritual drought. Many in this room have been in a financial drought. Many have been in a physical drought. And Lord, I pray, my God, for the rain of the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, that you begin to provide, redirect provision for their health, for their finances, for their marriage, for their family, for their lives, for their spiritual walk. And Lord, here today, we say here, we let go. Come on, somebody got to let go of something today. You got to let go and let God this morning. I want you to open up that hand right now. Let it go. Just let it go. Say, let it go. Let it go. Come on, God wants to use your life. God has called you. God's given you a special anointing to use your life. Ah, to use you, to make a difference. He's going to redirect your position. Come on, receive it, receive it, receive it. This is a prophetic word that God is saying, I'm redirecting your provision. I'm doing something that were said to you, you couldn't even imagine what I'm going to do. See, the Lord sees what's in your hand. All you see is the little in your hand. He sees the much. He sees the finished product in your hand. You see the flour, he sees the tortilla. But not just the tortilla for one, the tortilla for all. For all, the Bible says her and her whole family ate for many days. What an example this woman of God was. You know what's amazing? Is that this woman was much like us. She was a regular, normal person that had doubts and fears. She had a hard time responding. But when she did, God's grace was on her. God's grace is on you. We have God's grace on us. Let God's grace fill you this morning. Make a commitment today. So, you know, I'm not going to hold on to what God wants. I want to learn how to let go. Let go and let God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we do that song, Raining Down on Me? Are we going to be able to do it? I don't know. It's a tough song, but we might be able to do it. Raining down on me, raining down on you. Holy Spirit, rain on me. Let's try it. If you can, it's all right. If you can, you can do something else. You got Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. That'd be good. That'd be good. Come on, everybody. I want you to take about 30 seconds right now, maybe about a minute or so, and I want you to get beside yourself and say, I'm out of the drought. I'm out of the drought. Come on. Come on. Put your hands together. Somebody shout. Somebody shout and say, oh, yeah.
Again, how can I forget what you've done for me? You are faithful.
You never fail me yet, never fail me yet.
You are good to me, and I'm faithful, grateful. How can I forget, how can I forget what you've done for me? You are faithful.
You never fail me yet, never fail me yet.
You are good to me. Faithful. How can I forget?
How can I forget
what you've done for me?
Come on, put your hands together. You never fail me yet. Never fail me yet.
You are good to me. And I'm grateful, grateful.
Yeah, yeah. Hey. Woo.
what you've done for me. You are faithful.
You never
fail me yet. You never fail me yet.
Never
fail me yet. You are good to me.
And I'm grateful, grateful. Faithful, you never fail me yet, never fail me yet. You are good to me, and I'm grateful, grateful.
He's a faithful God. I feel the rain of the Holy Ghost.